And we're back here at All Access Sports Radio and allaccessportsradio.com. Don't forget our Facebook and Twitter challenge here at All Action Sports Radio. You like us on Facebook and you follow us on Twitter. And Pam will open the envelope, and whichever number that you land on, you can go into our All Action Sports Radio swag bag. And we'll send you something great from all of us here at All Action Sports Radio. My name is Wes. I'm your host here. And I want to give a big shout out to Quincy, Illinois, WGEM 105.1 FM. Thank you for being a part of our show each and every week here at All Action Sports Radio. We're moving into our Moto segment with Racer X online editor Jason Weingant. He also hosts the TV broadcast of Lucas Oil AMA Motocross and the GNCC series, the largest and the most prestigious off-road racing series in the U.S. Jason, Mr. Three-peat, Mr. Wright, you did it again. You called the race in St. Louis for James Stewart. Everybody wants to know, how do you do it? How do you see Jason racing so well?
That's it, man. When James Stewart's rolling, and we haven't seen him rolling like this in quite some time, but when he is, the only person that can beat him is himself. And now we've even seen Ryan Villopoto can't even stop him straight up. With Stewart, there's always potential for a crash, but honestly, the last few years, even when he didn't crash, he wasn't always fast enough to win. I think now he's back to the point where if he doesn't crash, he's going to win. So that's pretty good odds, man. If you're faster than everybody, you're probably going to win more often than you don't.
I want to hold up right there with James Stewart, and we're going to come back to him. There's a couple of things I want to get to so I don't run out of time. The Alessis are at it again. I just read their Moto Concepts. Their team is going to split their time in the summer between the U.S. Nationals and the Canadian Nationals.
Yep.
What is that all about?
You know, the only reason it makes sense is because this is a group of people that often try not to make sense. So that's the only reason it makes sense. The team, Moto Concepts, the owner, Mike Genova, and the Alessi family have always been pretty counterculture to the point where they ride a white bike and they say, do not dare call it a Suzuki. It's a Moto Concepts Racing 450. I mean, they truly, I think, go to bed at night thinking that they built their own motorcycle from scratch, even though they started with a Suzuki you could buy in a dealership like anybody else and put parts on it. But it's deep down inside, it's still Suzuki. So my point is, they're counterculture. They want to run a completely different looking and acting program than any other team. The Alessis have always been a little weird like that. So I guess the weird decision is actually the normal one. I don't think it's a good one, but it's, you cannot be shocked by anything this group does. You cannot be.
But doesn't that only work when you win?
Here's the real problem. Yes, for sure, they have to win. You're only going there because you're like, okay, our odds of winning a title in the U.S. are slim, and our odds of winning a title in Canada is much better. But I don't believe the Canadian series is big enough or prestigious enough for, even if you winning there, I don't know if it's going to do much. That's the problem.
Oh, well, whole shot of Alessis at it again. All right, let's do a quick injury update. Geico Honda's Will Hahn had a super, super gnarly crash in St. Louis. He's been diagnosed with a broken right humerus, a broken clavicle, and a crack in the base of his skull. Just how bad is it, and what's his recovery look like?
It's actually not nearly as bad as it sounds when you hear a cracked skull.
That sounds bad.
Yeah, I mean, I actually texted with Will on Sunday night, so this is like 24 hours after it, and he even sent me a picture of him in an x-ray smiling, giving the thumbs up, and he actually says he's been worse as far as injuries go, which shows you how gnarly most motocrossers are. Because there aren't any complications with the skull thing, as bad as that sounds. It's going to heal normal, and the upper arm they think will heal normally. The only thing they're worried about is once that all heals and they look at some of the other shoulder damage he has, they can't really figure out what the deal is until the arm is healed and the skull is healed. He's either going to be good to go or they're going to say, wait, there is more shoulder damage, and you're going to have to wait longer. So he's either back late in the summer or next year, depending on how bad the shoulder is. But the bone's got to heal before they can figure out the rest of the shoulder.
Now, you know, according to a team source, a doctor that checked out Will Hahn, they said he had a cracked skull. The doctor had only seen a cracked skull like that on two other victims, and both of them were dead.
I think they said it was like car accidents or something like that. I can't believe, again, talking to Will literally the next day, he seems to not be too worried about it. Skull is obviously a crazy deal, but I guess the way they're looking at it is where it is and how it happened. It's just a bone. Bones heal. He's not too worried about it. That's crazy. But, for these guys, you know, it is with sports. It's not a fatal problem. He's not going to die from it. So they more look at the problem is, okay, if your shoulder's jacked, the joint is jacked, will that affect how you're going to ride a motorcycle down the road? So that's why the shoulder is actually more of an issue than the cracked skull, as scary as cracked skull sounds.
Well, the thing for me is, I mean, you've been around, Jason. People are saying that's one of the worst crashes they've seen in a really, really long time in the series.
For sure.
It was for you as well?
Yeah, and I think this is how you know it's bad. A couple other riders commented on how scary it was to watch that. And these guys obviously have seen it, done it. They've all hit the ground plenty of times themselves. So it takes a lot to get the attention of these riders. So that's how you know it was bad.
Yeah, he was up, like they said, 50 feet in the air.
Well, basically what happened was he was trying to do a jump that for these guys is fairly routine, and he just didn't get enough lift and didn't get over the edge of it and crashed. And I think it's one of those things you look at and you're like, wait a minute, that's a jump that any one of these guys could do 100,000 times in a row. But it's still possible that you could mess it up and really get hurt, and I think that's the scary part. I don't think the riders are as wigged out when someone tries to do something crazy and crashes, because you just think, well, I won't do anything crazy. But when a routine jump for these guys goes wrong, that's when I think people get wigged out, because that could happen to anybody.
Yeah, for sure. You're listening to All Action Sports Radio and allactionsportsradio.com. We're in our motor segment with Jason Weingand, RacerX online editor. Hey, real quick, let's jump to he's right here. Justin Brayton. He broke his foot when he clipped Justin Barcia's bike. And he, you know, they wrapped him up and he rolled. Was it a small break or was he in? What do they do for these guys? Do they fill them full of, like, pain meds and say go?
It depends on the situation, but often no, because the problem is you can't really, you know, if you can't feel anything, you really can't ride. So for the most part, you know, it depends. Sometimes with a shoulder you can kind of do it and get away with it, but when it comes to a foot, like, if you don't have any feeling, you're not going to be able to know what the heck you're doing. So he just kind of kept the boot on the whole time, because he knew if he took it off, it was going to look gnarly and it was going to swell up. So I think he just hung out, wore the boot the whole time. He said it's really not a big problem. He might even be able to get to ride this week, and he's definitely going to race this weekend. It's not perfect, but it's not as bad as a broken foot would be to normal people. But again, this is what these guys deal with week in and week out. I saw him on Monday. He was limping around, but he was walking. No crutches or anything.
Man, just how tough. That's amazing. Hey, let's talk James Stewart. 50th win. Last week you said there was no way he could catch McGrath riding like this. There are some people who think he can. I think James Stewart is smarter, more patient, more of a technical rider, and pretty much shedding his cow reputation, and that comes with maturity. Are you rethinking that he can catch McGrath, or you're still sticking with the same story?
I'm sticking with it because the record is 72, Stewart is 50. He would need to basically win 50% more races than he's already won in his career, and he's been racing for like 12 years. So, you know, even at the pace he's averaged already, that would take 6 years to get there, and there's no way he's racing six more years. There's no way. So I say virtually no chance. That hasn't changed in my mind.
Even if he wins every race the rest of the season?
He's still only won 50, and he's got to win 22 more. You know what I mean? And it was only a month or so ago that we were wondering if he'd win any more. So that's just a really tall order. I almost think, honestly, the one thing no one's thinking about is that everyone assumes the title's just done, and it's Ryan Villopoto's, and he's already got it. I'm actually not so as assured of that as I am of McGrath's record standing forever.
You know, here's the thing that I want to touch upon. You know, do you think that James Stewart, since he's 36 points out of the lead in this series, he's not feeling any pressure, so he's riding, you know, loose, fancy free. He's riding smart, right? What is there any shot statistically at all that you can see him chasing Villopoto down and giving him a run for his money towards that championship? I mean, what I'm saying is, if he wins the next two, if he podiums, what kind of combination does he have to do, or is it so far to reach that it's a lost cause for him to even think he's going to win a championship?
I think everyone thinks it's a lost cause and it's too far out of reach. I don't, only because of this. Obviously, you know, I'm 90% sure Villopoto is going to win, but I'm not 100, only because in this sport, backing it in, racing the calculator, almost never works. Everyone's going to say, oh, Villopoto will just cruise. But my old buddy Jeff Emick, who I did TV with for years, he's a former Supercross champ, he always says, You'd rather have momentum than points. And when you're just cruising around and not doing great, you're only doing okay, that's when you're not riding yourself, you're not doing your normal thing, you're thinking about other things, and then weird stuff starts to happen. And the only way Villopoto loses the title is if something weird happens. But a lot of times, when you're programmed to go for it every time and win, and then you just think, oh, I'll just get third, it's such a different mindset. We've seen strange things happen, and that's what Stewart needs to have.
All right.
So, it's not over.
Jason, I got like 10 seconds. Who do you got in Houston?
I'm going to keep rolling on James Stewart, betting on seven.
Betting on seven? James Stewart? All right, man. I'm going to hold you to it. I'm going to Twitter it out there. Jason Weingart, man, you are still the man. Hey, we have Vicky Golden coming on later in our show. Next week, I want to talk to you about what her impact is going to be on the Supercross Series if she does indeed make that leap.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Thanks, Wes.
All right, thanks, Jason. We'll talk to you later. More with Vicky Golden, motocross superstar, and Chris Pastris talking skateboarding here at All Access Sports Radio. Oh, boy, yeah.